all who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away, and in the waves of His mercy, as deep cries out to deep, we sing, come Lord Jesus, come. Come Lord Jesus, come. Come Lord Jesus. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy, deep cries out to deep, we sing, come Lord Jesus, come. Come Lord Jesus, come. Come Lord Jesus.
Like to share and exhort you again in the word today, and I've got a title here, and our title is, Are We Losing Sight of That Name? Are we losing sight of that name? Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Revelation chapter 2, and I want us to look at verses 12 to 17. Of Revelation 2, verses 12 to 17. And here, God is writing to the church at Pergamos. And in this it says, And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name, and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. And then he goes on about a few things against the church. Now, to hold on means to hold fast. It means not to deny his name, in which he's addressing here to the church at Pergamos, even in the face of trial and persecutions. It's interesting because at this church, Satan had his seat in the city of Pergamos, where the powers of darkness had great control and influence over that place. And we note as we read that the church maintained its faithfulness, particularly to the name of Jesus, to the Lord. And we know that through history, and we read in church history, that sadly many professing Christians through the centuries denied the Lord in order to not be persecuted or to lose their property or be thrown in prison. So sadly, some through persecution denied the Lord, where there were some, obviously, who remained faithful and didn't deny his name. And of course, this is what is commended here in the church at Pergamos. It's interesting, as we come to the close of the age, that we're coming back into those experiences once more, because time is coming when once more Satan will be allowed to sift the church as wheat. Satan's powers will be given to the Antichrist, and those who do not worship the beast, sadly, will be killed. We see this in Revelation 13. Revelation 13, where the beast comes forth and is given great power by the Antichrist, by the enemy. And in verse 7, it says, "And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." And then it goes on further in verses 15 to 17. "He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name." So we clearly see that power will be given to the beast through the Antichrist, Satan giving this, God is allowing this for a season in order to sift the church as wheat, to find those who are overcomers, those who are left, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is how much power and control the Antichrist will have before the Lord comes and chains him for 1,000 years and the war of Armageddon. That is just how powerful he is going to be. It will look for a season as though the Antichrist has won. But God is still in control. Now the question we're raising today is, are we losing sight of that name, the name of Jesus? Because that name is going to cost. As we draw nearer and nearer to the end times and these events that will unfold, it will cost to confess and bear that name. And so we're not to deny the power of his name. You see, the early church, they had a revelation of the power of that name. That is why miracles were done, were wrought. We have an example of this in the book of Acts. In Acts 3 and verse 16, we know the story where Peter sees the cripple and he says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk," which he does. And then it goes on, it causes a great stir, as you can imagine. And in in Acts 3 and verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, in whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So they experience the power of his name. It says, and his name through faith in his name. So it's not just his name, but it's believing, it's having faith in that name. And sadly, I believe the contemporary church today in many ways is substituting his name. Do you know how we substitute the name of Jesus? Well, there are a number of things that we have. For example, I believe organized religion, denominationalism, is a substitute to his name. Those that get all caught up in religious works and organizations, again, is a substitute for his name. Where the church now, instead of practicing deliverance, casting out of demons, relies more on psychiatrists and psychology. Again, it's a substitute for his name, and just trusting in the arm of the flesh instead of seeking the Lord, his word, is all substitutes for his name. And there are times that we do this, and we're not always aware that we're doing it because we're not always trusting in the power of that name, the name of Jesus. The church has lost the importance of his name. You see, his name is the power of eternity. He has invested his name in us if we're truly born again. It's like a power of attorney. You have the right to use that name and the promises to that name. And God expects the church, the overcomers, expects you and me to use that name for his glory. But the question is, are we substituting that name for other things? Are we losing sight of that name? That is why the devil doesn't like the name of Jesus. And demons will only be expelled and come out of people when authority, faith is in that name. Else it doesn't work. And sadly, many do not really have this faith in the name of Jesus. So often it's just God or the Lord. And of course, they are titles, they are names. But God to us personally, in covenant, in revelation, is Jesus to us. And that is the name he has given. He said, I will come back to you. I will not leave you comfortless, he said to the disciples. I will come back to you. Who will come back? Jesus. So coming back to us through the Holy Spirit, baptizing us in the power of the Spirit, means he's come to us and lives and dwells in us, and we have been given authority to use that name, the very one who's taken his residence in our hearts. He expects that. You see, Christ gave the church the authority to use his name. We've already just cited it back there in Acts 3:16. And in his name, faith in his name has made this man strong. So it's not just his name, but it is faith. It is knowing what is in that name and what has been granted through that name. So what has been granted? all the word of God and the promises of God's word, as well as your prayers, your intercessions, all in the name of Jesus, has been granted. And yet how are we substituting that name for other means, relying on other means, trusting on other things? You see, all the while we're still trusting in the world and the arm of the flesh, there is still a degree where we are substituting that name. We're still not quite convinced. And we lose sight of it. You see, these early Christians and the time of Acts, they were thrown upon that name. They had nothing else. They couldn't rely upon anything else. And that is why God will allow the church again to be sifted, to be persecuted, so that he will remove everything from them that they can rely upon, so that they know the power of that name. And the reason that the Antichrist is going to be given that authority to be able to martyr many Christians who hold on to the name of Jesus, he's going to be given that power because it has to be restored back. The power of that, being faithful to that name, not substituting that name. That is why the demons now in the world blaspheme and use the name of Jesus or Jesus Christ. You hear it often, people using it when they blaspheme. Why that name when there are myriads of names that could be used? Because the powers of darkness hate it. And they know what has been invested in that name given to the believer. Isn't it interesting that the powers of darkness sometimes have more insight than professing believers? How strange at times things can be. And yet God is giving us a revelation, an understanding of that name above all names. And that is why Christ is the head of the church, and his name is Jesus. And that's why Christ gave the church authority to use his name, in order to honor his name, to worship his name. In other words, it's his name promised to honor it as if he himself were speaking the words of faith. So in many ways, because he lives in your life and my life through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we speak the words of faith, we speak the name of Jesus, because he's the one in us. It's so he is speaking his name through my lips. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever considered that? That I speak that name out, it's as though he is speaking it through my lips. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We need a revelation, we need a touch, we need an insight to the one who dwells and lives within us. And then we will know the all power and authority and might in that holy name, the name of Jesus. And we will begin to see these greater works that we believe we're heading towards. What does it say in John 14? John 14, verses 12 to 14. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me The works that I do will he do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Twice he says it here. So he gives the reason. He says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So in other words, Jesus has gone back to the Father, but he's now invested his name through the body of Christ. So many now confess that name. Many call on that name. And he says, and whatever you ask in my name, the name of Jesus, I will do it. In other words, I have been given the power of eternity, in which to use that name. It's invested to me, it's given to me, and I use it. I know the authority that is in that name. He's given me permission, authority to use that, not for myself, not for my self-gain, but for the glory and honour of God. That is what his name is given to us for. And he says then, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Twice he emphasizes, as though when in verse 13, you sort of think, well, wow, that's mind-blowing. You know, you can't quite take it in. And then he reiterates and says it again in verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'll do it. Because that is my name. I can't deny my name. That is you calling on my name. You are representing my name. You are speaking my name in this situation. And I will grant it. I can't deny my name. I can't deny my word. I can't deny it through you. Because you're confessing it. You're speaking it. That's what he's saying. Yet how many of us believe that? That is what he's saying to you. When you speak my name, whether it's in prayer or praying for the sick, casting out demons or a miracle, whatever it is, I will do it because that is my name you're speaking and I cannot deny it. That's what he's bringing us to, brothers and sisters. And this is why we must not lose sight of that name. Because many believers who are left after the rapture are going to be challenged whether they will still remain faithful to that name or not. Because many, sadly, are going to be martyred. That is why it is so important to the church. And because the contemporary church today is losing sight of that name, no longer believes in the authority of that name, and looks more to man, to the world, to the arm of the flesh, God says, I'm going to sift it. And he will allow the enemy to have power and authority for a season in which to do this. So we now, as overcomers, have a choice set before us to believe upon that name and to let God work the revelation of that name into our hearts. We're going to love that name. We're going to cherish that name. We're going to know that every time when we speak that name, we speak it because He's given us authority in which to do so. And he cannot deny it and will not deny it. Because we're one with him. That's why. Hallelujah. You see, when we look to substitutes, what we're really doing is denying the power and the authority of his name. And it's so easy to do this, brothers and sisters. You know, the enemy can be so subtle to just lure us away from the authority of that name. And you know, he's just very, very subtle how he works in all of these things to try and get us to take a substitute. The powers of darkness are always trying to get us to take substitutes instead of the very best that God has for us. And we really have to fight against it, you know. We know the power in God's name because Jesus gave it to the disciples just before he was taken in Mark 16, verses 17 to 20. Mark 16, verses 17 to 20. And he says here, "And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Here again, Jesus, before taken up into heaven, gives them that commission, says, "Go forth, use my name." And he says what will accompany that name. And so there we are. That name is our protection. That name delivers us. That name changes the course in our life. That name answers questions or things that we're wanting to know. That name will answer prayers and intercessions that we bring before him. I hear at times a lot of believers, when they pray, they just say, "God, thank you, God." And at the end of the prayer, "Thank you, God." Well, my Bible says that whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. We do all in that name. Because all authority, power, might and dominion has been given unto that name. And so when we're looking to substitutes, we're fundamentally denying the power and authority of that name. You see, we're getting a revelation, aren't we, of his name. As we walk by faith and the anointing, we and the word of God getting into our lives and into our hearts. This is why faith comes by hearing and reading the word of God. We get revelation, we get a deeper understanding of that name. And this is why God wants to give us such teachings like this. Of course we know the name of Jesus. This could sound very elementary. But the question is, are we losing sight of that name, the power of that name? I am one with that name. The one who is named Jesus is the one who lives, resides in me. That is the revelation. That is the experience. And that is what he says, that when you experience that, when you know that, then on that day you will ask me and I will not deny you. It's when we get that understanding of what that name is. I want to start to close with a scripture that we know well in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9-11. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 9-11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. So any name you can think of, any name in history, any name of saints or good people, kings, queens or whatever, his name is above all of that. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth. So every soul in the image of God that has been created right through eternity from the fall of Adam and Eve, every soul will bow at that name, the name of Jesus. That is going to be absolutely awesome. And yet that is what it says here. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Those that hate God are going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every demon, fallen angel, is going to have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even the very devil himself, who wants to be the God of this world, will have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue, for the glory of God the Father. That is the investment, that is the power that Almighty God has invested in him and in that name, and that name that he now has given to you and shares with you as he lives in your life. How can we ever doubt? Why do we still look to substitutes when all it takes is the name of Jesus? Are you going through a trial? Then it takes the name of Jesus. Whatever you're going through, whatever you faced, or whatever you faced last week, all it takes is the name of Jesus. When we feel that we're just going under, all it takes is the name of Jesus, and he will hear. Whatever the situation, we have to have a revelation of that name. We have to go deeper with that name. And that is why I believe God is addressing this and challenging us with this. Because he doesn't want us losing sight of that name. And it is so easy to lose sight of that name. In other words, the power, the authority of that name when we're going through a trial. Or when things get tough. Or when you just feel you cannot take any more. That is the reason we go through much trial and tribulation, the Bible says, for the very purpose so that we can get that insight, that understanding, that experience of his name, that name above all names. So the trials that we go through are all tailor-made for this very purpose. You see, you cannot separate the name of Jesus from faith. And you cannot separate faith from the name of Jesus. They are all one. We need faith to believe in that name. The power of attorney given to us. We need to believe in that. So when you are praying next, when you speak out that name, you will know that Jesus has heard that name and that request, because he cannot deny it. If what you pray lines up with the word of God, that is. Brothers and sisters, we cannot go wrong in this. We cannot go wrong. We just at times still listen to the enemy, or we allow fear to take our eyes off the word and off that precious holy name. But God's still working with us. He's still bringing us through our trials, through our tests, because there's something great at the end of this he's going to reveal. And so as I close with this, don't let us be like the church at Pergamos. You know, they were going through persecution. Satan's seat was there. The first martyr was there. But what little they had, they held on to the name of Jesus. They had an insight. And sadly, sometimes it has to take persecution to bring back the power and authority of that name. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we still have need of hearing. We still have need of learning the power of your name, that name that you have given to us through your Son, Jesus. Father, where we are lacking, where we are not understanding still, please help us. Help us to know and experience that when we speak that name, we agree with you. We are one with you. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are doing this work. Forgive us that we still at times run to the arm of the flesh. We look for substitutes. And that's still an indication that we're still not quite sure yet the authority in your name. But Lord, you've said that work which you have begun in us, you will complete and finish. And so we thank you in your mercy for that. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for fellowship with them, Lord. And I pray that they will be blessed. They will prosper. And that, Lord, as you use them, they will know the power and authority in that holy name that you too have granted them to have. So bless, preserve, keep them all, Father, I pray, until we meet again. For this we ask now in Jesus' name.
Jesus, his name is wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God.
His name is
Jesus, he is the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, his name is wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God.
His name is
Jesus, he is the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
The shepherds out on the hills, the wise men from the east, all were told of this little child, and quick they came to find the one
who is Jesus. His name is wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God.
His name is
Jesus, he is the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Far and wide his name is spread, he healed the sick and he raised the dead. All who came rejoiced to find in his name their sins were shed.
Through Jesus, his name is wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God.
His name is
Jesus, he is the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
His name has still the same power today to cleanse, restore and heal. In his name there's victory, for he's the life,
the truth, the way he is, Jesus. His name is Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God. His name is Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, his name is Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God. His name is Jesus, he is the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, his name is Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God. His name is Jesus, he is the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, his name is Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God. His name is Jesus, he is the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, his name is Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God. His name is Jesus, he is the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and the Lord.